The reason that we wear this physical body for only a few score years is due to our karmic debt. Unless we have disposed of it, we must go from body to body in various incarnations. The next logical factor is the human race has limited itself in thought form to an individual living out a single life in a short span of years. Neither do we learn to control the body so that it becomes immune to disease and harm. We do not think of going beyond the normal age span like Thomas Parr, the 18th century Englishman, who lived for 150 years with vigor and vitality. Should we be fortunate to learn rejuvenation such as Ayurveda, a system of renewing the body health, we can at least look and feel 30 years younger. The Kaya-kalpa treatment, within that system, used to bring back youth and health again, is given at the Katsapari Monastery in Tibet by Phubi Kwans. There are also other systems for use to regain youth and health which have proven to be very successful. The only trouble is that they are so well hidden we hardly hear of them. They are easier followed than the famed drill of the Eshwar cane whale, known in English as the God Eaters. Actually these are the ancient adepts of the ECK masters who live in the spiritual city of Agam Des, near the border of northeast India. Some have used their physical bodies for thousands of years and would put the aged citizenry of Hunza down as babes in arms. They are able to consume the cosmic spirit for food, which preserves their bodies to serve the inhabitants of many planets. Among Christian saints who could do this was St. Catherine of Siena. Heading this order of ECK masters is Yorblas Agabi, whose age is 39, beyond human conception. The old men who lived in rural England during the 18th century who had defied nature by living from 105 to 135 years, seem like trying to compare grandson to grandfather. St. Germain spent a long time in one body. We have proof enough to know he went beyond 200 years. He now spends his years in a castle hidden in the wilds of Transylvania. Madame Blavatsky, who founded the Theosophical Society, acquainted the world with the masters of the White Brotherhood. Luthuni, the leader, and many in the order have lived for many centuries. But it is suspected that the line of ECK masters have outlived most of them. Babji, the head of the Yogata Satsang Society Masters, known in the United States as Self-Realization Fellowship, under Paramahansa Yogananda, is to continue the work of Kriya Yoga. This is the same reason that Ribazar Das keeps his own body as an ECK master, to serve the world and the human race in lifting up all to the higher spiritual life. If we can come to this degree of high realization during our life here, to selflessly serve humanity and its spiritual needs, it stands to reason that we can be purified through God realization via an out-of-the-body state of consciousness, and keep the physical as a healthy medium with which to bring the message of truth to all in the universe. 40. The function of the spiritual traveler in one's life. Possibly the greatest mistake we have made in the study of spiritual works is to believe that we can use the psychic power to gain what we desire in life. A worse mistake than this is to think that we can use the pure spiritual power to gain material and spiritual ends. These beliefs cause much misery in our lives. Many persons have come to me with these mistaken ideas and a hatful of psychic and physical problems. In many cases there is hardly anything to do except to patiently try to get them straightened out so that the pure spiritual power can use them as instruments to spread the light and knowledge to the world. This is the function of the spiritual travelers, those whom we know as masters. It is their duty to see that all who seek their help receive a link up with the cosmic spirit so it can use the individual for its own universal purpose. This divine power, or whatever name you want to give it, has innate intelligence. It knows what we need and will furnish us with every good that benefits us for the universal cause. It will not serve a selfish purpose. Hence, if we ask for financial help, the spirit may bring health instead, for it sees that without health, we are unable to find the right position or job to give us financial help. 41. It will not be directed or pushed in any direction. It works on the same free will theory and independence as we do in our own nature. But so many times people will try to demand something of it, or direct it to do something for themselves. It won't reply in any manner and the person trying this becomes confused, upset and frustrated. Very often he does this with the psychic force, which is a lower element in this material world. Thinking that he has the answer for himself, he uses this until one day it won't work for him anymore. This is because the psychic force is an inexact science, despite what metaphysics tells us. It is never accurate and most erratic. Whatever we ask for when using the psychic force is found to have a price tag and we must pay for it. Those who make a study of Ikankar, as a path to God, know that a master will use the power only to assist and lift one into the higher realms of God. Christ told his disciples this at the Feast of the Passover, just before his arrest. Saints, gurus, and all masters, especially those travelers in the line of the Ikankar teachers, are fully aware that they themselves are helpless without the divine power. But once Ikankar has established itself within us, it uses us as a channel of divine communication. So the function of the master is to show those who are seeking God realization the way toward it. When anyone comes in contact with Ikankar and shows no resistance to these works, it is then that the link up with the divine power is given him, via the traveler. The traveler is responsible to God to see that anyone who approaches him to gain truth receives this link up. It is so subtle, without an outer initiation, the seeker often overlooks it. But he does have the inner initiation via the spiritual senses, maybe in the dream state, or perhaps when the traveler can coax the seeker out of his human state of consciousness into the spiritual state. Once this initiation has started, spirit begins to burrow its way through the thickness of the human consciousness much like a drill. Often the reaction of the neophyte is violent, because the 42 human consciousness, or negative state, resists truth entering into it. But the spirit is gentle in its actions and the change in the individual is less noticeable. The heavier the human consciousness is, the more violent the reaction might be. This is even true of communities, cities and nations. If spirit starts entering into a community, its reactions might be of a somewhat violent nature, for its heaviness in thought atmosphere tries to resist spirit and the struggle is sometimes more than we anticipate. This is why the path to God is often called the painful and thorny way. Life for the neophyte starts getting better in every department, and he gains both materially and spiritually. He is led into the right places for his own welfare. Many times he knows that something is working for him, but he is too busily engaged in the affairs of the objective world and misses the entire modus operandi of spirit. No master will take over the karma of anyone. He knows better, for it will destroy his own health and drive him into despair. But he can take the karma of anyone and dissolve it by turning the problems over to the cosmic spirit. Neither will he do much for the individual when asked. He may direct the flow of the spiritual power toward that person, and it takes on the responsibility of either fulfilling or rejecting the request. Many times spirit will fill another need in our life instead of that which we think he need. The traveler then is the pure channel of God. He is the true instrument, as Christ put it, "Abide in me and I abide in you," for he is the present dweller in the Christ consciousness as Jesus was. He has nothing to do with psychic powers, or a demonstration of physical or psychic phenomena. He knows the penalty for using these, and only the use of the spiritual powers will give him a status in heaven. He allows the cosmic spirit to use him and work through him in behalf of all the world. He often does not know what the 43 results will be any more than any one of us would know. His needs are always fulfilled by the cosmic spirit, of course. For example, a few weeks ago, when I needed quiet to do some writing on spiritual matters, a bulldozer kept running along the beach in front of the house doing repair work on the breakwater. Its noise was disturbing. I asked the driver to go away, but naturally he didn't pay much attention to such a request. It wasn't but a few minutes before the bulldozer's motor stopped and the driver couldn't get it started again. Just before time to quit, it came alive and he was able to get it back to the plant again. Puzzled and angry at the machine, the driver and construction people never had any explanation about what happened. Spirit was taking care of the situation while I was busy doing something for its own cause. This is one of the ways that it works when we do not even call upon it for help. I could give you 100 or more personal examples of how it works. In some cases, I have seen it heal incurable problems in health, purse and human relationships. Once during an altercation with someone over the power of God, I casually pointed at a tree, in a forest that we were driving through, saying, "Look at that tree." But before the sentence could be finished, lightning came out of the sky and toppled it in a mighty crash. I was almost as surprised as my friend. But spirit needed to prove something to this man, so it used me as a channel to make its point. There is no need to say that my friend was converted to Ikankar, although it took the hard way to do it. It worked when an airliner wing motor failed at high altitude and we had to turn back to the last airport which we had left only 30 minutes before. I saw spirit's operation during a trip to the Midwest when Chicago had its worst snowstorm in several decades. As stated earlier, whenever anyone who is a channel for spirit visits communities that have a thick atmosphere of negativism, an attack will immediately be made on this condition to pierce it. In this case, the results were so violent that a 5-foot, 44, snow clogged the roads, airfields and harbors so that all traffic was brought to a halt. Despite this, those vitally interested in Ikankar were given a way to get to the lectures there. We are the instruments through which this divine power flows. It makes anyone who has become a clear channel a master over life and death. It brings good fortune to those who surrender to it, but struggle and hardships will find anyone who resists it. Spirit will lift us into the glorious heights of the heavenly worlds. It also uplifts and benefits the whole human race whenever we allow ourselves to be the instrument of God. This is our function as spiritual travelers. 45. The raging debate of God's existence. The raging debate over God's death had certainly caused a schism between those who claim his demise and those who steadfastly argue that it isn't possible. Although it has turned out to be little more than a fad for the many who follow the thesis that God is dead, there is a strong element of truth in the statement. That we shall see later in this discussion. Our problem here is that we are somewhat concerned with semantics. The two powers, those of the negative and spiritual forces, and the three major states of consciousness. These are three major states of consciousness that we are interested in and which we are constantly dealing with are, the human state of consciousness, the self-realization state of consciousness and the God consciousness. Once we find ourselves able to exert self-recognition according to these states, we know ourselves and can recognize God, itself. First, in this discussion we must take a look at the mechanics of spirit. Spirit is divided into two aspects. First, pure spirit which has its home in the God worlds, above the fifth plane of the invisible worlds. This is the dividing line between the two grand divisions of the lower worlds and the upper worlds. The negative power, often called the psychic force or universal mind power, has its abode in 46, the lower worlds. This includes the physical plane. When any person takes up the path to God in a serious manner, the spiritual power from the upper worlds enters into his human state of consciousness to purify this area of consciousness. But the negative power starts a fight to keep it away from its own field of activity. We can easily call this the perennial battlefield, and no man is without it as long as he lives in the human body. It is discussed quite well in the Bhagavad Gita in the dialogue that takes place between Krishna and Arjuna. While in the human state of consciousness we experience pain, anger, doubt, fear, vanity, pride, greed, and other non-survival factors of the lower consciousness. If spirit is at all successful in overcoming the negativism within this human state of consciousness, soul can move into the higher level we call the fifth plane, or the self-realization state of consciousness. By movement into the self-realization state of consciousness we have reached the fifth plane of the spiritual worlds, where we have freedom, and liberation from all in the lower worlds. We gain perception of knowing who we are, where we are going, and what our mission is here on earth. This is only a state of spiritual being, gained by soul travel through the lower planes to the fifth plane where liberation is granted and soul returns to the physical body for temporary living, until the body reaches the end of its life here on the physical plane by natural means or otherwise, which is not of the individual's own doing. From the self-realized state soul then moves into the God-realization consciousness where it dwells in total awareness. It knows all things, can see all things and is a part of that we know as God. when one functions in the total awareness state while living in the physical body. He does so in soul consciousness, only. He does not have to travel in this state since there are no time and, 47, while he dwells in the lower worlds in the soul samp, soul form. He is in space and time and must be concerned with these concepts for traveling. This explanation had to be given, for it is concerned with the arguments that are flying around about the demise of God, or not. We must have a criterion by which we can judge the actions of those who are putting up such arguments on either side of the issue at stake. The side that takes the issue that God is dead is speaking somewhat from the human state of consciousness. It is merely a matter of semantics for those to argue this point in a negative manner. But all who are concerned with this argument forget that every few hundred years there appears a world teacher. In fact, we are never without one, but a new one comes as a messiah or savior. Take for example the old legend of Pan's death, which was shouted throughout the ancient world, at the birth of Christ. It meant that a new world savior had made his appearance to lift the human consciousness into a higher state than the materialistic Pan, the terrifying boy god of the ancient Greeks. We must remember that no path to God is of any purpose to us, unless there is a living teacher at the head of it. A teacher who can be both the outer and inner teacher to his people who follow this path on which he is the leader. Therefore, we are more interested in looking at the state of consciousness of whoever originated the words "God is dead" in our times. If he was speaking out of the higher state, it meant that a new way to the kingdom of heaven had made its announcement on earth. Not to be presumptuous, but it was about the same time as this controversial statement was making headlines that Ikankar made its first appearance in the world as a path to God. Whether this proves anything or not, I am not the one to make the judgment. Only history will prove it out. But the whole argument can be summed up in the few words that the existence of God is only proven to those who live in the higher consciousness. 48. Spiritual realization will resolve our difficulties in the field of spiritual affairs. We find many teachings that are promising material and spiritual rewards through different methods, especially resolving difficulties. However, we find that the practitioner of most methods which consist of the manipulation of thought will come to grief after periods of practice for any length of time. The practitioner will fall into one or another thought about failure with the use of these types of methods. First, he will start thinking that there is something wrong with the system of such teachings, which pushes him downward on the survival scale into grief and apathy. He becomes a victim of frustration and defeat. The other thought is that there is something wrong with the system of such teachings which are supposed to lead him to many gains through practice of these methods. This leads him to running from teacher to teacher, trying to examine dozens of systems. Sometimes he is guilty of taking two or more courses from different institutions and reading as many books as he can possibly put his hands on in the hope of gaining material and spiritual rewards through mental and religious sciences. While there is nothing basically wrong with manipulation of thought to gain a material reward, one must remember that he gets what he goes after, and often it is something that is not 49, wanted when the goal is achieved. Also, it is wrong to seek parts of the whole instead of the whole which puts the parts together. Unless one seeks spiritual realization first, then he is apartment to fail at all material and spiritual goals which he has set for himself. So many fail to understand this and remain in one pattern of thinking throughout their whole lives. Just before ending their existence here, they admit they were colossal failures in the methods they were trying. When anyone starts out to solve his problems either materially or spiritually in this way, he is doomed to failure. He may for a little while find himself doing well, but in time he will come to the end of the good cycle and find gigantic obstacles blocking his way. A few can be successful at manipulating the psychic energies to gain success in solving problems, the vast majority cannot. For some strange reason, we have been told for many years that God is willing to reward us for spending time in meditation or trying to use various methods of the imaginative processes to resolve problems. But this is not true, for we cannot begin to be successful until we have started reaching the field of the universal worlds, that which is sometimes called the kingdom of God. Christ reiterated this many times throughout the Gospels by his words, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, His Sermon on the Mount is a classic in laying down the basic spiritual law that says we have spiritual realization before all things come to us in a natural way. No one who has lived on earth in the human consciousness has ever been successful at resolving problems. Not even the Manas of Eyes and Sevens, who have trodden among us, found the psychic was the ultimate way. They found that problems can only be controlled and never resolved in the physical world. But we must dwell in the spiritual consciousness before true success begins to come to us. We cannot manage our worldly difficulties successfully unless soul is able to live again in the spiritual consciousness of itself. In seeking this state of established experience, we must first seek self-recognition, what we call self-realization. The practitioner does not go anywhere, does not seek nor does, 50, he experience anything but recognition of himself. The more he practices the art of self-recognition, the greater becomes his awareness of the God state of realization. There is no progress or development but rather unfoldment. It is looking deeply into oneself constantly. This is not introversion, which meditation often leads us into, but it is having an objective viewpoint about ourselves. This is the difference between Akanka and many of the other systems seeking the God state. ECK uses the simple techniques of self-recognition, which is sometimes called contemplation, while yoga and other systems use heavy meditation. Contemplation can be streamlined to the simple explanation of being completely interested in a subject, whether we are sitting at a desk working, or in silence. Meditation means concentration for long periods of time. Westerners are not suited to the meditation methods of the Oriental religions. Our hurried daily pace does not allow us to have time for heavy concentration and long periods of silence outside our jobs. Most of us are not geared for this inner seeking. Anyone who spends over one half hour in silence without gaining results should stop and wait until later to make another try. Generally, the span of attention will not hold any longer than this, and then the mind will begin to jump like a monkey if it is not already doing so. Too often the writer who has laid down rules for anyone to follow is a professional in the spiritual field, in a manner of speaking, while those who are reading his works are amateurs, or beginners. When they cannot master what he has taught, they feel that something is wrong with themselves, for it seems that anyone can follow his instructions. This is not at all true. The reader or student must find that the system must fit himself, instead of him fitting it, or else it should be discontinued and he should find another one which will. However, no system will give as complete a success as one which shows him how to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the spiritual consciousness, and live through self-recognition. 51. The great spiritual protest. Occasionally in a letter that comes across my desk, there will be one that shows intolerance of Akanka, and all other paths to God, except the one which the writer follows. This is not unusual, for the more we unfold into the higher spiritual life, the harder will the negative power struggle to hold its own against the expansion of the individual's state of consciousness. Consequently, we detach ourselves from any criticism, self-assertion and show of psychic powers by others in any form of protest against our way of reaching God. Seldom do we reply to this type of letter but follow out the basic principles of Akanka. That is, no ECK master will give direct replies, but lets one learn for himself. For example, once when asking Sudar Singh about the Sharatkai Sigmad, received a strange reply. Ribazar Das once said to me, when I had just asked him a question rather like yours, he said, "An answer is always a form of death." He was telling me that my question came not from the true spiritual realm. It meant that I was still in the lower state of consciousness, and no answer would be accepted regardless of how true it might be. The true answer would come in the form of 52, experience, which I would know as being truth. All other answers given would be useless. When Jesus stood before Pilate and was asked many questions, he skillfully avoided direct answers. But when Pilate asked, "What is truth?" Jesus merely looked about him without answering. He knew it was useless to give profound answers to Pilate, for truth would destroy the questioner. He also told Pilate, "Thou wouldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." This is the crux of the spiritual power that every spiritual teacher holds in his hand. He allows freedom to everyone in the midst of a terrible protest against his teachings and works. Every spiritual teacher has experienced this aggression of the negative power which uses lower consciousness to try to destroy the higher consciousness which has become a channel for the divine spiritual force to use for the uplifting of man. No soul has ever reached God realization without having been accosted by the lower forces, via his fellow man, and the elements of nature. It is like a storm that whirls about him, yet seldom does it touch him. It cannot penetrate the spiritual armor wrapped around him and only damages those who make the protests. It is a great spiritual crime to allow ourselves to fall into the traps of the psychic and physical senses. We fall back into the mental planes and are caught up in the five deadly passions which keep one bound to the wheel of Wagawan, the wheel of the 84. These five deadly passions are lust, anger, greed, attachment, and vanity. When we are intolerant of anyone's religious belief and attitude, we have been trapped by the passion of vanity. The chief function of vanity is to block truth. Any teacher who tells his chelas that he must give up reading, study, and listening to others, defeats his own purpose. If a chela chooses to leave him for another, it means that either his teachings do not fit the chela, or that the state of consciousness to which the teacher, 53, is trying to lift him does not fit. The true spiritual teacher lets him go without regret, for he knows that the chela has not yet reached the understanding needed. He is aware that one goes on hugging his assumptions that all others are mistaken except himself, who believes, am right and he who opposes me is wrong. To sustain my belief all others must be destroyed. It has been this point of view which has created war in the past, has fomented strife among nations and resisted all efforts to be enlightened. Those who are concerned with protests are basing their attitude upon the conflicts of moral, intellectual or social characteristics. If we break this down more, it is a feeling of conflict that goes on between mental strife and a feeling of inadequacy. They are constantly moving between two states, which brings about a spiritual protest within them, that eventually comes out as vehemence against the teacher for not doing something that fits the desires of the chela. Seldom does the spiritual teacher answer this type of letter, for he knows where the student stands on the ladder to God. He understands the motivation behind the action, and to reply will mean death to the seeker. Only by the chela's own experience will he learn what has happened, and it will not be something that he is apt to forget. Intolerance is always an aspect of vanity, but there should never be any condemnation for this perversion of the mind. It is something the teacher knows that all chelas must pass through before coming into the true light of God. Only patience and perseverance in the practice of the ECK techniques will overcome this negative quality which fastens itself upon one. As long as we remember that this lower world is only a place where the negative power reigns and nothing is secure, we are on the right path to God. 54. New concepts of the God realization state. How many centuries is it since a great religion shook the world? Four immense religions have dominated the Earth planet in the last 3 years: Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity and Muslimism. Now in these modern times, we who have been objective about the religions of our day are wondering if they have passed their peak of service to those who desire God and are diminishing to eventually fade away and be replaced by a sweep of another dynamic faith that seizes the people and shocks them into the reality of seeking God again. During the early years of each great modern religion, we can find the records of many who were able to reach the God realization state by traveling the spiritual path within the boundary of the particular faith of his own choice. But no longer do we find this exists, for most of the clergy and priests have turned to social reforms for mankind. They have put their attention to wars, housing, employment and many other social questions of the day. There is no objection to this sort of program, but if one is an astute student of modern religions, it will be found that since the beginning of time, when a massive religion which served nations and people began reforms for man, it started descending the curve 55, toward its demise. When a church ceases to give God, and this alone, to its audiences, then it stops being a religion and is concerned more or less with a program of social reforms. It is a trap established by the Gal, negative, power to lead those who propose to reach the God-realization state into the illusion that all the works of soul really belong in the spirito-material universe which includes this physical world. Prior to the advent of modern religions, we find the cults and faiths of the ancient worlds dominating the minds of the masses for centuries.